Welcome back to Page of the Wind, the daily podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's Name of the Wind page by page. This is page 181. Stone on stone. What? Rack and shatter you, what do you want of me? Your road is very short in Canis, but you may still choose a side on which to travel. And Canis laughed. You will give me the same choice you give the cattle? Yes, then, I will cross to your side of the path. I regret and The wheel rung again like a great bell tolling long and deep, and Canis threw his body tight against the chains again, and the sound of his screams shook the earth and shattered stones for half a mile in each direction. When the sounds of wheel and scream had faded, and Canis hung panting and shaking from his chains, I told you to speak no lie, and Canis, Telhu said, pitiless, my path then, and Canis shrieked. I do not regret. If I had my choice again, I would only change how fast I ran. Your people are like cattle my kind feed on, bite and break you. If you give me half an hour, I would do such things that these wretched, gawping peasants would go mad with fear. I would drink their children's blood and bathe in women's tears. He might have said more, but his breath was short as he strained against the chains that held him. So, Telhu said, and stepped close to the wheel. For a moment it seemed he would embrace Incanus, but he was merely reaching for the iron spokes of the wheel. Then, straining, Telhu lifted the wheel above his head. He carried it, arms upstretched, toward the pit, and threw Incanus in. Through the long hours of the night, a dozen evergreens had fed the fire. The flames had died in the early morning, leaving a deep bed of sullen coals that glimmered when the wind brushed them. The wheel struck flat with Incanus on top. There was an explosion of spark and ash as it landed and sank inches deep into the hot coals. And Canis was held over the coals by the iron that bound him and burned him and bit him. Though he was held away from the fire itself, the heat was so intense that Incanus' clothes charred black and began to crumble without bursting into flame. The demon thrashed against his bonds, settling the wheel more firmly into the coals, and Canis screamed because he knew that even demons can die from fire or iron. And though he was powerful, he was... at the end of the page.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
This page tells us a lot about Trappist's personality. Trappist has a real nasty streak.
Go like, on. Why? What makes you think
well,
that?
Well, Trappist is the narrator. Trappist is the one who's conjuring the story. And presumably he heard it somewhere, but I doubt he...
This is his telling of it.
Yeah, I feel that there... Yeah, it's his telling of it. And not that he's embellishing necessarily, but he's been able to conjure this nastiness. You know, I don't think this is exactly
when he takes on the part of Incanus.
Yeah, even like he.
Well,
Taylor's
not a pretty picture here either, though.
Well, that's what I mean. Neither of them are, but like verbatim, he quotes Incanus as saying, "You know, I will do such things that these wretched, gawping peasants would go mad with fear. I will drink their children's blood and bathe in women's tears."
You're saying that's probably not in the good book of Telu.
Yeah, I'm saying that's Trappist.
Making it fancy
exactly,
for kids.
Making it a bit more fun. But that tells us something about him, I think.
Well, not that I ever went to Sunday school, but part of Sunday school is like the teacher like telling you Bible stories, right? And you sort of like learning about the Bible through that. And I can imagine that like if I went to a, you know, a cool Sunday school with like a hip young preacher, they might, you know, embellish a story like, you know, Jesus talking to the devil like tempting Jesus in this same kind of way.
Yeah, no, that rings true. Mm-hmm. I can believe that. Something else I wanted to bring up.
I also feel like, though, that we shouldn't necessarily color the messenger with the message.
Yeah.
Like, if he is just telling a story the way he heard it. Like, we don't know if he's telling a story the way he heard it or if he's embellishing it. Like, sure, the likelihood of him embellishing it is more, but it's entirely possible that he might not be. And the story might not color who Trappist is.
I guess all I'm saying is that it reveals a side of Trappist that his actions in the narrative don't reveal.
Yeah, I think we can infer from this that like he's no longer stumbling over the details of the story or like changing his mind about stuff. He's like now he's on a roll, he's getting into it, he's doing the voices.
Okay, fine.
The other thing I want to bring up here is that Incanus doesn't actually get a choice.
Well, he does, but he can't, like he refuses to repent.
Does he though? I mean, so again, it's the victors who write the stories here. And
you're saying that Telly would have made the bell ring no matter what he said?
I'm saying it's a possibility. I'm saying that, especially if we keep in mind the notion that the people who were primed to believe are the villains aren't necessarily the villains, that maybe Incanus never got his choice here.
It's Also, the other demons were never given that choice. Why wasn't Canis?
Well, they were given the choice to repent, right?
Not the demons. The people were given that choice.
Yeah, when Telem encounters a demon, he just kills it.
Yeah.
Good point. Does he... Isn't Canis explicitly a demon?
Yes, he's the Lord of Demons. Yeah, he's the
Lord of Demons. He's Lord of Demons, but is he a demon?
It says on this page, he knew that even demons can die from iron and fire, and though he was powerful... I'm going to flip to the next page here. He was bound and burning. That implies very strongly...
It does.
Okay, fine. You have some wiggle room, but I'm going to play my Doubtful. Skeptic card here and say that Canis is pretty heavily characterized as a demon in the Telem faith. He's the Lord of Demons.
Sure. All I'm saying here is that even within this story, he never actually got that choice.
If you accept the premise that he... Like, if you accept... Because the way the page reads is that he's lying when he says, yes, I'll cross to your side. If you accept the premise that he's telling the truth there and the bell rings, then he never got his choice.
Well, I'm saying that the bell also, I think you basically summed this up, the bell controlled by Telu is the indicator. And sure, within the myth of the story, you know, it's the bell that rings whenever a lie is told. But perhaps... within a different story
Telu is a charlatan.
Yeah, putting on a show and or justifying, finding reasons to justify his actions.
Mm.
And at this time he doesn't actually puts on the show. He performs giving Incanus the choice, but doesn't actually give him the choice.
Well, it's not like Incanus after goes, no, I was telling the truth. Like, the bell shouldn't have rang. Like, he's like, fine!
Well, it's like there's no choice left to him. It's sort of like a while back you mentioned Tyrion Lannister, who's thinking Jon Snow is like
make it your armor.
Right. That's Tyrion. Okay, we're getting into a whole other book here, but that is Tyrion's fatal flaw, is that he thinks that the strongest thing to do is to own what people think of you, and that's what is his big mistake, because instead of proving people wrong that he's not a monster, he decides to lean into it, and then he does become the monster that everyone says he is. And
we have very different readings of Tyrion's character, sir.
Dude, the whole point of Game of Thrones is that it is the high fantasy monsters, but humanized.
This is not Page of Thrones. We are here to talk about a different book. And I don't know what you're talking about, because I haven't read Game of Thrones, so let's move on.
Well, that's not our fault.
Okay. But it's the same here. It's that Incanus has left no choice but to be the monster that Telu says he is. And so he says, fine, I will do these things. I will be this monster. I will drink your children's blood. But he never had an opportunity to prove otherwise.
Hmm.
Yeah. We only have Telu's word that he would be doing these things.
Sure.
And we only have Telu's word that the world will be better without him.
How does that fit into your theory that Trappas is a Mender Heretic and that this is not the official version of this story?
Sorry, go ahead.
Because in this story, Telu, as we've noted on previous pages, is kind of an asshole. He's a very Old Testament kind of god, where even the good people get punished. And, like, here, what really calls that to mind for me on this page is Telu said pitiless. Right? He has no pity in him. He has no mercy in him. You know, he's just, like, demon condemned.
Well, we don't know enough about the Telem faith to really extrapolate what the heretic part is. We know that they have a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
The holy symbol is a wheel. So, presumably, this part of the story is true. We know that people... that one of the theories of the Chandrian is that they are the people who refuse Telu's offer of the path.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably part of the main book. I suspect that the heretic part is the story of Perial and Menda.
Mm.
And that's also what puts Trappas on this path, because he's maybe more of a follower of Perial, where like everyone deserves kindness.
Mm.
Whereas Telu is a bit more everyone deserves punishment.
Mm.
And so it's the Menda is part of the Mender. Is like the heretic part is the Menda part, is the Mender.
He was reborn as a man. From Perial?
Yeah, or like that whole... I mean, and again, we don't have enough information to really put that to bed, but unless it's in those appendices.
You had your chance.
Yeah. Well, one day. One day. We're really doing our listeners a disservice by not having read those appendices, because we lack information that they may have, and they're probably screaming at their podcast right now.
Jordana.
Yes.
What have you got in your notebook?
Actually, nothing that we haven't touched on, really. I have a note that says that, like, he sounds truly villainous at this point, like, in Canis.
Yeah, this is, like, that's
and before,
why I was
like,
so
it
excited
was,
to read this page.
Like, before, like, in Canis, like, could have been not such a good, such a bad guy. Like sure, he was a demon, but, like, we hadn't really seen too much of him, like, being excessively villainous until, like, now.
Well...
Sounding excessive.
The villainy we had for him was all secondhand. It's like, you know, and Canis was traveling through the town side and
really
leaving
knew
devastation
about him
in his wake.
Was that, like, he was running from Teilu.
Well, and that he was, like, you know,
causing
poisoning
trouble,
wells
yeah.
and, like, murdering livestock and whatever.
No, but hang on. My read on this is that Incanus is taking the blame, but isn't necessarily to blame. Like, Incanus does the same amount of bad as all the other demons in the world that Teilu has culled, right? In the story.
Yes.
And so I think the implication here is that demons are the fall guys for all misfortune and all human evil. And that the Telen faith, or at least within this story, is led to believe that expunging demons will mean humankind will be saved. But what we're actually supposed to take away is that they won't. It's just misfortune and human evil that are
causing... Until this part of the story in which we see Incanus kind of be a scary guy.
Well, and doesn't the story end with Teilu, like, much like Christ, literally, like, absolving mankind of sin?
Well, we'll get there tomorrow.
By, like, sacrificing himself to destroy Incanus once and for all. He's like, all right,
but we don't know if humankind is thus redeemed. We actually don't get the ending of the story.
Well, much like in the real world, we just started sinning all over again.
Sure, but I think then the takeaway here is that even without demons, you know, it was never Incanus' fault for misfortune, and so I don't think we can blame Incanus for poisoning wells and spoiling crops.
I'm sorry, Nick. I'm going to have to submit you to the Telen Inquisition. Your mendicant heresy cannot be tolerated.
Well, Scarpy survived. I'm sure I'll survive too. We've gone long. Is there anything? I mean,
I'm done with my notes. I have no more things.
It's a dense page, to be sure.
So Nick thinks that this is all a metaphor. I think that it's literally true, and Incanus is bad and Teilu is good.
And as per usual, I have a little bit of both.
Somewhere in the middle. Alright, cool. That's where we've left it. We'll revisit this in 100 pages.
What?
What's in 100 pages?
We might not. We'll revisit it when the next time we get
a
religious story.
A little bit tomorrow.
Yeah, well, before he leaves Tarbin, we'll get another version of the story.
Do we?
Yeah, because Scarpy tells me.
Yeah, but that's about Lyra and Lyra.
Jeremy, every story we hear is a different version of the same story.
Nope, they're all unrelated.
They're... I'm Bart Simpson choking Jeremy right now. Jordana, can you draw art of me choking Jeremy?
The way Homer Simpson choked Bart Simpson.
No.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Ooh, you and your artistic prerogatives.
All right, I will draw a picture of you choking Jordana.
Okay, and Jordana choking Jeremy.
Fine. No, actually, no, I don't agree. I don't agree.
All right. Should we call this one to a close?
Yes.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We've been Page of the Wind.
We're a proud member of the Dork Shelf Podcast Network.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jordana.
And I'm Nick, and you're the listener. And we'll see you tomorrow for another Page
of
the Wind.